It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer. Kent, thanks for joining us on this Monday. In this hour, we're talking about high school sports. During the 2018-2019 school year, Wisconsin ranked 14th in the nation for the number of students who participated in high school athletics, with more than 178,000 participants taking part in sports. Our guest is Wade Lebecki. He's the deputy director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. He's also been a high school administrator, athletic director, teacher, and high school football coach. He was also a high school athlete himself. So we have the WIAA deputy director here. What questions do you have about school athletic programs? Are you the parent of a high school athlete? What's it like for your athletes, certainly over the last year, and what could be improved? Call 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Wade, welcome back to the morning show.
Good morning, JC. Good to be here.
So you started as the deputy director in 2009. What changes have you seen in how high school athletic programs have been run since you began?
Well, you know, what we've been trying to do is to go ahead and alter our thinking as our membership has evolved. And what I mean by that is a lot of our eligibility rules have been longtime rules, and we've been trying to modernize them. An example would be the amateur status rule. We've updated it so, you know, kids can go ahead and receive merchandise awards of up to $100, and schools can give their kids commemorative awards up to $200. And we've been trying to evolve the transfer rule. It was pretty tough when I got there. If you transferred after you began 10th grade, you could not practice or compete in varsity athletics and or JV athletics. And we've evolved that to allowing JV participation in transfer situations where the parents have not made a total and complete change of residence. So we've been trying to become more student athlete centered. And I think we've been successful. Obviously there's still room to grow, room to go, but we've been trying to evolve as an association.
Now, what value do sports continue to have in students, not only their personal lives, but their academic lives?
You know, there's been studies, numerous studies that have shown that graduation rates are better when somebody's involved in student athletics, that discipline records are better, that there's less discipline. Pregnancies are down. Overall, class ranking is better. So there's a direct tie of student athletics and participation in athletics and extracurricular activities, not just athletics, but involvement in other activities that are an extension of the classroom. And there are definite studies that that show definitive results.
Now, recently you worked with the WIAA Sports Medical Advisory Committee and other health officials to figure out how to navigate the pandemic. You know, how did COVID-19 affect WIAA membership within the last year?
Well, you know, that's a multi-pronged, answer. We knew that athletics play a significant role in the student athletes' lives, and Tim McGuine out of UW Health did a study that demonstrated that the mental health of student athletes when the spring athletic programs were shut down changed dramatically. A lot more kids reported some form of depression. A lot more kids reported severe depression when they didn't have those interactions with their coaches and their interactions with their teammates. And the physical activity, the physical fitness went down as well. So we saw the significant role that played, and we were able to go ahead and navigate that whole COVID pandemic by August, where we were able to offer sports. Granted, they had to wear masks, which was extremely tough in our winter sports, which were indoor. And we're seeing some more recommendations from CDC about indoor sports and masks, but we were able to go ahead and pull that off. And I think, you know, our doctors on our sports medical really did a great job of seeking out the research and the best information out there on a pandemic that we knew nothing about, you know, a month before that. And we were able to go ahead and set up guidelines and recommendations to be successful. That's probably my proudest moment in my role in the WIAA is to be able to lead that effort and to be able to work with our doctors and work with the DHS to go ahead and have something for the kids. And we were able to do that. Illinois shut down all, you know, for a full year. Minnesota was shut down for quite a while, and Michigan was shut down, you know, through December. But yet we were able to offer that and offer some flexibility by offering the alternative season for fall sports in March and April, where we were able to play fall volleyball and fall football and cross country and girls golf and girls tennis in the spring for those schools that were unable to offer anything in the fall. And that was significant. It was very important. And we were able to go ahead and provide guidelines on masks and provide guidelines on social distancing and how you could go ahead and conduct a practice. And it was a proud moment for our association, I think, and our member schools.
Well, wait, I want to stick with that for a second because of the CDC's recent guidelines on mask wearing, particularly for young people. We're about to head into another school year. Many schools are going to be in person. Do you support the CDC mandates? What would you like to see schools do as they head into the fall?
Well, we definitely, you know, we had a meeting with the DHS on Thursday, and we definitely are telling our member schools that best practice is to follow CDC guidelines and to follow their health department guidelines. And we're going to discuss this week and next week with our Board of Control on Friday what we want to do mandatory-wise for guidelines for our WIAA tournaments, which will begin at the end of September. So with golf. So right now, our recommendation is you follow CDC guidelines, which means that indoor sports such as volleyball and swim, the best practice is going to be to, once again, mask up. The variant is very aggressive, it appears. It appears that it can get people who are even fully vaccinated sick. So we want to make sure that we are protecting our kids and protecting our community members as well, while we're trying to go ahead and offer opportunities for our student athletes.
We're talking to Wade Lebecki right now, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. And let's stick with that, because last week DHS Secretary Julie Willems Van Dyke said that the state is basically on the path for a fourth surge. People want to be in crowds. They want to see either their students participate in these sports. What advice do you have for people who want to participate either in the sport or as spectators with the Delta variant going on?
Well, the best advice is to follow the guidelines that the DHS puts out. And they're there to protect the community members as well as the student athletes. And, you know, we're going ahead and trying without requiring anything to explain to kids that, you know, we would like them to get vaccinated. We want them to protect themselves. We want them to protect their family, and we want them to protect their teammates and protect their season. And the way to do that is to get vaccinated. And the more people that get vaccinated, the better we can deal with this pandemic. And obviously, you know, the CDC advice is to mask up, whether vaccinated or not. And, I do when I go anywhere that there's a crowd or whatever, because that's what's best for others. But I have elderly parents, and I want to go ahead and make sure that I don't pass something along to them. I would like to keep them around as long as we can. And one of those ways is to go ahead and protect myself during a pandemic. And I think that's important. We're talking about our communities, and high school sports are such a big part of the community that we can have a significant role in protecting our communities and demonstrating and providing some leadership by going ahead and following those guidelines that the CDC has gone ahead and put out there, and the DHS is going to put out there. So that's our goal, is to get those kids those opportunities. But our goal is also to do so wisely. And that's the best advice we can give.
So does the WIAA have a contingency plan in the event that we do see a massive surge in Delta for an alternative season the way we saw last year with fall sports getting moved to the spring? Or is that kind of in the early stages of discussion right now?
You know, that would be early stages of discussion. You know, we have to see what our member schools are doing and how they're reacting to their communities and what their communities want them to do as well. So we haven't gone into a discussion about an alternative season at this point.
We are talking with high school sports with Wade Lebecki, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, or WIAA. And we're going to be taking your calls. Did you participate in high school sports growing up? How did you support your students if they're high school athletes? Call in now, 800-642-1234. And we'll continue this conversation in just a moment. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We continue our conversation right now about high school sports. Our guest is Wade Lebecki. He's the Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, or WIAA. And we want to hear from you, high school coaches. Why do you coach? How much of your time is dedicated to coaching, and what have you gotten out of it? And student athletes, what do you enjoy most about sports? How has being an athlete shaped you? We want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, Wade, I want to get back to your role. In your role, you have been responsible for dealing with student athlete eligibility. How has the WIAA expanded access to sports for students who want to participate?
You know, the interesting thing about the WIAA, and most people don't realize it, is we are member driven, and our members are our public schools and our non-public schools in the state of Wisconsin. And there's 516 members, and they set the rules. We'll bring those forward in April, and the members vote on them. And if they pass, then the new rule is instituted. And if they don't pass, then the proposal dies on the floor. So we don't make the rules in the office. And my role as the eligibility person and compliance person is I would describe it as one of the tougher spots in the WIAA, because a lot of times you say no a lot, and it's not pleasant. It's not enjoyable to have, you know, some access denied or restricted to kids. And it's a tough role. Personally, it takes a lot out of you, you know, during the day. It's draining, but it's a neat role, because you do play a significant role when you want to try to change things, because you're working directly with the member schools with proposals and trying to go ahead and make things better. We're trying to evolve as an association, and I think we've done a great job of that over the last 12 years. And I think it's going to continue to be that way even after I retire, that we'll continue to be member driven and to respond to the membership. And you know, with that said, you know, eligibility is a significant role. I always thought that my job was to protect the kids who aren't transferring and to protect the kids who are following the rules. You know, we have people who move around for athletic purposes, and that's great. But there are restrictions when you do so without moving with your family and without making total and complete change of residence. And, you know, you always, whenever you have a rule, you have to understand there are many people affected by it. As I think in the lead in to the hour, we talked about over 100,000 kids participating in high school athletics in Wisconsin. Well, you know, one kid transferring, there's still 99,999 kids who are not, and they're who are following the rule. So if somebody violates the rule, you know, there's the other kids on the team who have not. So we always think about the displaced athlete or the athlete who has followed those rules, and how are they affected? And if it's a negative effect, those are the people we want to protect. And that's always I've been at the front of my brain when we do have to make decisions is what's going to benefit all and not just just one person. We have to keep that in mind. There's a lot of other kids who are getting the benefits of participating, and we don't want to interfere with their opportunities for any one individual.
We are talking to Wade Lebecki right now, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. And let's stick with transfers. Earlier in the show, we spoke with State Senator John Jagler. He authored some legislation that would have allowed transfer students to play sports at their new school without sitting out a year. That bill was vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. But let's hear what he had to say.
You're going to have a lot of kids who probably don't even realize it yet that they're not going to be able to play football or play basketball this winter because of this transfer rule when they were just trying to improve their education.
So, Wade, what is your response here to Senator Jagler's concerns?
Well, you know, they're good concerns, but at the same time, you know, everybody who participates in high school athletics is aware of the rule. They sign a sheet that they've been given by their athletic director. And when people transfer, the outgoing school athletic director normally will tell a parent and a family, hey, you know, if you leave our school without a total and complete change of residence, your eligibility is going to be affected. And the school at the incoming school, or the ADA at the incoming school, also will inform them. And of the particular constituent that Senator Jagler is talking about, one, they knew the rule. Two, they have not completed the process. We do have a process for waivers for extenuating circumstances, circumstances that are unforeseen, uncontrollable, unavoidable, that force a transfer. So we do have a waiver process, and that student athlete and their family have not completed that process with our office. They've talked to the school, and the school has to request that waiver, which they have not done at this point. So there are waivers for extenuating circumstances, and we try to go ahead and see if we can make somebody eligible as often as we can. But many times we can't. And again, there's displaced athletes. If a student transfers into a school, they're going to take somebody else's spot. And we always have to remember those kids as well and those constituents, you know. So while one kid may transfer in and there's five starting spots on a basketball team, if they take one of those spots, there's a kid there who's worked just as hard as anybody else that might lose their spot. The ineligibility for a junior transfer is non-varsity. A sophomore after the beginning of 10th grade is non-varsity. A senior is no competition. And they can always return to their previous school if they so desire and be unrestricted and be eligible. But we are looking at some accommodations for COVID. We have done so. We passed it that if a student has spent a year at the school, so if they transferred in August, they are unrestricted at the new school this August. If they want to return because they transferred due to COVID, they can return and they're unrestricted. So there's very few kids who are caught up. In fact, I think in last year, we might have approached two dozen kids who are in this situation where they transferred after the school year began without a total and complete change of residence, and they are restricted for 365 calendar days from the date of transfer. So if they transferred on October 1st, they become eligible on October 1st of this year. So that's the rule. Essentially, we are going to discuss some other accommodations next Friday, but I'm not sure what the board will consider and what the board will pass, but we have some situations that we're going to discuss and see if there's more accommodations due to COVID that might be available.
Can you talk for just a little bit about what some of those accommodations might be that you are all considering?
Well, like I said, the rule, if you don't have a total and complete change of residence, the students are restricted. You're unrestricted at beginning of 9th and 10th grade. So if there was a transfer during 9th grade, at the beginning of this school year, they're unrestricted. So those students entering 9th grade, they're unrestricted. So essentially the rule, the transfer rule would affect somebody who has transferred after 10th grade began. And then they would be restricted for 365 calendar days. Well, with last year with COVID, if the school canceled their fall season and a student transferred and they had the rule restricted them during the alternative fall season, then they transfer now, you know, once they've transferred and they're restricted in the fall again from the fall season, they would have missed two seasons of that sport. And that's not what the rule was intended to do. So we're going to review that unique situation. So if a girl missed a fall season in volleyball and transferred in October, and the school played an alternative fall season in March and April of volleyball, and she missed that season.
Well, Wade, let me interrupt you for just a second because we need to go to a break, and we'll pick up this in just a minute. But we're talking to Wade Lebecki, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. We will take your calls at 800-642-1234. But now we have news from NPR and WPR. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Right now, we are talking about high school sports, from recruitment to coaches to referees. Our guest is Wade Lebecki, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. That's the organization that oversees high school sports statewide. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you volunteer for any type of youth sports program? How did you get involved? And what effect do you think these programs have on kids? You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And I would like to go to one of our callers right now. We have Joe in Platteville. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if Mr. Lebecki could if I could ask him if there's any discussion of changing the girls' basketball state championship venue from the Rush Center in Green Bay back to the Kohl Center in Madison to make it more equitable and to improve recruiting at Wisconsin's basketball program.
Joe, thank you so much for that call. So are there any plans in the works, as Joe just asked, about moving girls' state championships, basketball specifically, back to Madison?
You know, and I'll just say one thing here, Joe, is I'm the wrestling guy. So I work with the sport of wrestling and not basketball. So I'm not into the details as much in basketball. But I believe that, you know, the girls' basketball coaches have been very satisfied with the Resch Center. It's an intimate setting. It's good for the girls to go ahead and have the opportunity to be on a big stage. And the difficulty and the reason that we were moved up to the Resch Center is the availability of the Kohl Center. And when you have wrestling there, and then you go, and then the next weekend you have girls basketball, and the next weekend you have boys basketball. The availability for the Kohl Center for them to use it for their own athletic programs is difficult. So we ran into trouble when they wanted to host the NCAA regionals for basketball, as well as they wanted to host Big Ten hockey there. And when we were using up those three weekends in a row, it became difficult for them to go ahead and schedule their own events. So the move to the Resch Center was in part because of the availability of the Kohl Center. And as I said, I think over the time now that we've been up at the Resch Center, the girls' programs have been very satisfied with it being played up there. The exposure is just as good at the Resch Center because, you know, college coaches can go up there and scout any girls that are in the state tournament. But, you know, that exposure has already been done during their junior years and their sophomore years of high school sports. It's not going to be contained to that one weekend of state tournament. But I do think that, you know, the exposure is still on statewide TV. It's been very receptive up there, being up there with the Green Bay Packers and the Hall of Fame and Lambeau Field and Titletown. That's been beneficial to the girls programs. But I think they'd really like the spotlight being on them. And it's been a successful program. So I don't anticipate that they will be moving down due to the availability of the Kohl Center and due to the successful implementation up at the Resch Center. But, you know, I'm retiring, so I would tell you that, you know, nothing is out of the discussion. And if the basketball coaches bring it forward, it would be discussed.
We're talking to Wade Lebecki right now, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. And one of the things that Joe brought up was recruitment, and you just hit on that a little bit. But can you walk us through the recruitment process? How are WIAA members doing in recruiting students to participate in sports?
Well, you know, and recruiting is allowed as long as you're recruiting within your own school community. And if you're recruiting somebody else's kids, that's not allowed in high school sports. And we do have accusations of that occasionally. But, you know, participation in sports, in some sports in particular, such as softball, soccer, and football, participation has gone down. And we really need our coaches to go ahead and be able to tell people about the difference of school sports and club sports. You know, club sports is really focused on winning. School sports is and should be focused on developing student athletes who will become good citizens in the community, who will go ahead and utilize the benefits of growth and the benefits of academic growth to go ahead and be successful and to be good people. And that's what really school sports is focused on. And good coaches, while they are able to win and have some success, are able to develop kids. And to get those benefits to those kids through participation in high school sports. So our school leaders have to go ahead and continue to focus on the benefits of participation. Our coaches need to get kids in the hallway and talk to them about those benefits and see if they can get them out onto the athletic courts or the athletic fields and or in the pools and to get them to simply come out and participate. You know, the focus in high school sports is on participation and the, receiving those benefits. And that's the beauty of high school sports. It's available to all kids in the school. It's not determined by your athletic status or your economic status as some club sports might be. School sports are available for the students involved in special education and the students who are involved in advanced placement courses. They're there for the average kids. And hopefully we can remove obstacles such as fees to get to participate and we can make access to those programs more available because that's the important piece. It's about getting kids to participate so they can receive those benefits.
Now, Wade, you just hit on recruiting students, also hiring coaches. But prior to the pandemic, high schools faced a referee shortage. Has this changed since?
Well, you know, if anything, it's been exacerbated, I think, because of COVID. We went down quite a bit, and I don't have the exact numbers of officials who were officiating games. Because remember, our officials were, most of them are in that vulnerable category where they are older and COVID was more aggressive with our elderly and our people over age of 60, 65. And a lot of those, that's, you know, the majority of our officials and they took off for a year and we're concerned that they sign back up and that they get out on the field. But as we have this Delta variant, that could again affect the number of officials that we do have because they are more vulnerable than some of our younger officials. And it's hard to get the younger officials or younger people to go ahead and participate. And I think you're seeing that in a lot of things, whether it's the volunteer fire department or the volunteer ambulance squad or just young teachers coaching. It isn't a priority as much as it used to be. When I started coaching, in 1987, I was coaching football. I was coaching girls basketball, and I was a volunteer baseball coach. And that was a supplemental pay for our teacher's salary, and that's what I did. And I did that for 19 years, but until I went to the WIA office. And that's not as prevalent anymore. The younger people spend more time with their families, and they're not willing to give up that family life and give up time with their own kids in order to go ahead and work with someone else's kids. And that's, we really need that in our coaches and in our officials. And so we're kind of seeing it at both ends in our officials that our older
officials are retiring or they're getting out of it due to COVID. And our younger people aren't becoming as effective. And, you know, officiating is a great way to stay in the game. So if you love the sport of basketball and you can officiate, it's a way to stay in the game and earn a few bucks, but it's not a lot, but you can stay in the game. And that's, you know, we really try as hard as we can to get officials or get people to sign up to become officials, but it's not an easy task.
Now, this was a problem before the pandemic. You said that the pandemic exacerbated it, but on our network, we've had conversations where we've heard from people who have served as referees who say that they're actually afraid for their physical safety at some of these games because some parents get angry, some students get angry over calls. Do you think that there's something to be said about maybe recalibrating some of the culture at games to make it fun for everyone?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time emphasizing sportsmanship, but you know, we did have some legislation that's currently out there. A bill's has been proposed and is in the committee process of officials' assault and assault on officials. And we do see that occasionally where it is. And some people question whether or not legislation is needed. But if the legislation is out there and that potential thought or potential threat is out there that, hey, if you attack an official, you're going to go ahead and be subject to criminal penalty, that may discourage some of that. And that's an important piece. You know, I work with baseball, and we had two or three crews this spring that were chased off the field to their car because, you know, in baseball, you're out at the baseball field and umpires change and get ready at their cars. They don't change in locker rooms. And we've had officials chased off of the basketball court. We've had officials chased off of the football field. And we need to understand, you know, they're high school athletics, they're high school sports. And we need to focus on that and not on the winning and so much. And then I think a lot of times people invest so much of their time and their money in kids and clubs and all of that, that we may get a view that's a little bit too skewed. It is high school sports. It's not, you know, the Packers trying to win the Lombardi Trophy. Where there's money and there's all of that involved. This is opportunities for kids. And, you know, when you see that happening at a high school event, it's really, you know, discouraging, disappointing, because that's something that, you know, isn't a part of high school athletics. And it's not the number one reason why we play is to win. And we need to keep that focus on the kids and the kids participating. And it's hard for parents sometimes, but, you know, you need to go back there and sit back and just enjoy your kid running up and down the basketball court, or enjoy your kids taking a swing at the softball and running the bases and focus on that, the joy of watching your kids rather than on the winning and the potential of losing. And, you know, there's many mistakes in a football game. You might fumble the ball. You might throw an interception or miss a block. And if an official misses a holding call, it's no different than the kids, you know, missing a catch or a coach calling the wrong defense and being caught in it and the kid runs for a touchdown. So too much focus is put on something that an official might do, a mistake an official might make. And it's one of, you know, it's on one play out of 150 plays in a football game. So we really need to focus on that type of an aspect rather than on a win at all costs type of aspect.
We are talking about high school sports right now in Wisconsin with Wade Lebecki of the WIAA. We'll be back in just a moment and take your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Wade Lebecki of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association is with us to talk about high school sports, from the revenue the schools generate to the future of high school athletics programs. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about high school sports? What questions do you have about coaching or serving as a referee? We want to hear from you. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Now I want to go to one of our callers. We have John in Baldwin. Hi, John.
Hello there. Good to hear you today, Wade. John Hanson.
Anyway, oh, John, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Great to hear your voice today. Two questions. One was St. Croix Central and River Falls both made it to the state basketball tournaments, and both were defeated by private schools. The question is there some disparity between recruitment in the private school versus public school? A question that's been asked, and just curious about where that might go. The second question is about individuals with disabilities. We do make provisions for them at state and even the regional competitions, but what about individuals with severe disabilities, as my daughter's a school teacher in that category, about creating opportunity? Just a thought.
John, thank you so much for that call. So, Wade, let's tackle the first question first, which is public versus private schools and recruitment. Is there a difference happening there that might lead to some of those disparities?
You know, that's a topic that's been discussed since, so I would think about the 1990s and when the Wisconsin Independent School Athletic Association, or WISA, folded and was merged into the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association in 2000. So up to, you know, and back in 1903, in fact, there were private schools in the WIAA, but they were kicked out. And one of the reasons was the claim of recruiting, as John has mentioned. And then, like I said, in 2000, they were brought back in. And it's been a topic ever since. One of the ways that they did address the issue was to go ahead and place the non-public schools into larger conferences. So as an example, La Crosse Aquinas was in the conference with La Crosse Central and La Crosse Logan. And you know, in football, you have to win to get into the playoffs, and they weren't quite as successful as in those larger conferences in football. Now, in basketball, because they were in larger conferences and the competition was a little bit better, their programs became better. And that's where you see the success in a sport such as basketball. We don't hear the complaints about non-public schools in sports such as baseball or golf or tennis or softball. We hear it in the sport of basketball, and that's where we hear it the most. We didn't hear it, like I said, in football because of the conference issue. But as conferences have realigned in the football, non-public football schools have been in there. We saw an increase in non-public schools winning in football as well. So you'll see, you know, Catholic Memorial, Regis, and some of those schools are repeatedly getting to the football state tournament. So now we see it in basketball and football. As far as recruiting, I don't think it's the recruiting's the issue, because we do have a recruiting rule, and that was one of my roles. So if somebody made that accusation and they had some documentation, we went after the schools in the compliance area. But what does happen is when you look at the non-public school, such as Regis, they're in Eau Claire, and that's a large metropolitan area. So they have access to more kids. And when you look at St. Croix Central, they're in Hammond, Wisconsin, and there is not a large metropolitan area where kids can open enroll. You know, kids can go to any school they wish through open enrollment, but that's the issue there. There was a proposal brought forth by some member schools, and the member schools pulled it out because we are forming an ad hoc committee, and this committee is going to get together this year. We're going to develop that in the month of August, and hopefully they'll get together multiple times during the year and come up with a solution to the perceived problem. Once again, we talk a lot about the benefits of athletics and not necessarily about the winning, but you do see, you know, at the state championships, more private schools than the percentage of the membership. I wrote a whole dissertation on this topic, so I could go on forever.
And Wade, I am going to cut you off there because I want to get to the second part of John's question as well, which is making sports more accessible to students with different abilities who might be disabled. What is your answer to him on that?
Well, that's always an evolving discussion. And we do have, you know, track wheelchair a track competition, and we do have a state championship for that, and that's gone over well. We try to be inclusive in all of our sports. So when you were talking about the different disabilities, it depends, I guess, what physical disability someone might have when it comes down to being able to make it inclusive. We do have a good relationship with the Special Olympics, and Tom Shafransky in our office works with them. And that's pretty much the route that we do have available is the Special Olympics. We haven't gotten into wheelchair basketball or some of those other sports like that to this point.
Now, Wade Lebecki is with us, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. We've been talking about a lot of the benefits of high school sports, some of the challenges. But can you talk a little bit about the revenue? How does an athletics program help member schools?
Well, really, you know, revenue is not real great. You know, it's not when you look at the revenue of a high school athletic program, it's not the same as looking at the revenue from UW-Madison and the Badgers. There's not going to be a profit in high school athletics. It's an opportunity for kids. You pay the user fee, but the gate at the basketball is not going to cover the coaching salaries or cover your budget for equipment or any of that stuff. It's going to supplement it, if anything. And most schools, any money they make goes back into their general fund. So it doesn't even go to the athletic programs. Any money that you make during the WIA tournament, when there's a WIA regional or WIA sectional, that money is split with the school and with the WIAA. Because, you know, WIA does not have member fees, does not have member dues. So the association exists based on the tournament and the tournament runs, tournament revenue. And the WIAA, basically, you know, the revenue sports are football, wrestling, and basketball. We lose money on baseball, softball. We lose money on swimming and golf and tennis, all of those sports that we offer. And we lose money on you know, out of 26 sports, probably on 18 of those sports. And then the ones that do make money, other than those four major sports, aren't pulling in a whole lot. They might be pulling in 90,000 during the year because we have to go ahead and pay the tournament officials. We pay for state travel for schools and for hotels for the schools that are participating at the state tournament. So our expenses are pretty great as well. But the local schools, they're not going to be making a ton of revenue on the gate. Remember, they don't charge anything for softball or baseball. And they're not charging anything for many of their programs. You only charge for football, basketball, and hockey, where you have the gates, and volleyball. So,
well, Wade, we're going to have to leave it there. And, of course, I want to say congratulations on your upcoming retirement, and thank you for joining us. Wade Lebecki is Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. He joined us to talk about the future of high school sports. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.